And we're joined in the studio by our regular political commentators, E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and David Brooks of The New York Times, who have both been out around the country talking to voters. Welcome back.
Thank you.
David, let's start with you first. Your sense as you talk to voters of what's to come next Tuesday.
Well, if you want the official Brooks prediction, it's a 27 House seat pickup for the Democrats and 50-50 in the Senate. But I think some of the issues are actually also important. I hear a lot of you don't want to be a rubber stamp. You want to be independent-minded. There's a real, if you use the phrase partisan bickering at any rally, Republican or Democrat, everybody's against that. So there's a desire for a change in the political mood. There's also a lot of anger, especially in the suburbs, which are the key areas in this election, against the way the Bush administration handles information. It's not so much ideological opposition to the war. It's the idea these people don't face facts. They don't channel facts and make decisions and then fire people when there are consequences. So the vote that's against the that's coming against the Republicans is not so much ideological. It's more about competence and the incompetence of running the war.
And is the main issue that you've been hearing from voters, the main issue of their concern, is it the war in Iraq?
Especially in these blue state suburbs, where Republicans have always held until now, it is the war. But if you go to the Midwest, for example, it's the economy. And there you hear, especially on the Democratic side, a lot of economic populism, a lot of desire to rethink free trade agreements.
E.J. Dionne, what about you as you've traveled around?
You know what's amazing is I'm hearing very similar things to David and where I've been. I was just came back from suburban Philadelphia, and Lois Murphy, a Democrat running in a very competitive seat, said that what struck her is that Republicans who were very enthusiastic about President Bush 2 years ago are now turning on him and his party. And what she said is it's because of incompetence on Katrina and on Iraq. And in Michigan, where I traveled, what's really striking is that the only place the economic issue really seems to bite is in places that have been hurt by globalization. Sherrod Brown is using it very heavily in Ohio. Governor Jennifer Granholm, who's presiding over a very difficult economy because of the problems in the auto industry, has been able to turn the whole argument back on Bush and national policy. And economic nationalism and opposition to free trade is playing very well. The other thing is just, especially in suburban areas outside the South, a general disaffection on the part of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents. And a lot of that, I think, comes from the war, from Republican fiscal policies. One former Republican I spoke to said he just doesn't like the way Republicans deal with budgets or social issues. There's a lot of that out there.
E.J., David had predicted 27-seat pickup for Democrats in the House, 50-50 in the Senate. Do you care to make your own projection?
You know, I haven't done my own count yet. I think that's a very plausible view. What I basically think is that the Senate is almost impossible to call. I wouldn't be surprised by anything. I think the Democrats pick up at least 4. I think they could well go over the top and pick up 6 and on a really good night, 7. And the line between those is very, very small. I don't know anybody really knows how the Senate's going to come out. I've been thinking of 20 to 25 House seats, but if there is any little click on the dial, there really could be that wave. I think we're between a decent Democratic night and a really good Democratic night, and we're going to learn if this miraculous Karl Rove turnout machine makes any difference.
Let's think a bit about what happens after the election. And one possible scenario, say, would be Republicans manage to hold on to both houses of Congress with a slimmer majority. I don't know how plausible a scenario, but let's put it out there. How would they govern, David Brooks? What would happen to the Republican agenda?
If they held on to the House, they'd immediately go into cardiac arrest. I don't think they really have thought that far in advance. But, you know, the issue either way is about Iraq. That's the core issue. And after the election, especially if the Democrats take over, there will be a sweep away from a desire to get away from Iraq, including among Republicans. I happen to think that there will be no immediate action either way, and a lot of the decisions will actually not be based on the election, but on the behavior of the Iraqi government. If the Iraqi government can reach an agreement on sharing oil revenue and things like that, then there will be desire to stay there whoever wins. If the Iraqi government is still as unwilling to compromise as they are right now, then eventually both sides are going to want to start drawing down.
E.J. Dionne, assume then that the Democrats get control of one or both houses of Congress. What would that Congress look like? How would it be governing? And how would this divided government work?
Well, I think a lot of what will happen if the Democrats win at least a House is preparing the ground for the next big fight. I think the next 2 years really are about 2008. I think if the Democrats are smart, they're going to put out some markers. They're going to raise the minimum wage, and I don't see how the Republicans can stop that. I think they're going to try to take some steps on health care. They're going to go after the drug companies, although President Bush may veto any effort to have negotiated prices in the Medicare drug program. I think they're going to look for a series of modest successes that say, you'll like us for this. This is what we'd like to do, and we could go farther if we control the government. Tax deductibility for college tuitions is a very popular idea. You're going to have a lot of hearings, and I think the Democrats are going to manage to walk the line between excessive investigation, like investigating President Bush for stealing a paperclip, and not investigating and no accountability, as you've had under the Republicans. I think they're going to walk that line. But I think so much of it, I think it's going to be an interesting philosophical time, because the Democrats really have to unite their center and their left. If you have a Democratic majority, there are going to be quite a lot of moderates in there. Democrats can't have the left and the center fighting each other. They need to create some coherence out of that, and that's going to be a real challenge.
David Brooks, do you think that's true, if the Democrats do take control, that they will come to the center and work something out there?
They'll not only have centrists, they'll have conservatives. Mm-hmm. Heath Shuler from North Carolina in the House, maybe Jim Webb in the Senate. Jim Webb could be the most conservative senator in the whole country. To me, the crucial issue is immigration. Immigration is not really working that well for the Republicans, and you could see a lot of hardcore restrictionists going down. Do we now have a consensus on immigration? I think quite possibly.
Great. We'll talk to you both next week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post and Brookings Institution, and David Brooks of The New York Times.